chapter 5. Everyone more or less has notes? These are not much notes tonight. This is not much of a sermon tonight. Tonight actually is kind of unfortunately a time for us to think about very seriously what we're facing. So, before we stand to read the scripture, can we do this? We have now faced our government, or a portion of it, rightly or wrongly, has passed a law. Yes? That's one threat, so to speak. Now, the repercussions of that is we don't know where that's going to lead. I don't fear tomorrow they're going to come to Lake County. I fear, my guess is they'll come after big universities that are getting a lot of aid from the government, Christian places. Because the way they can manipulate is through what? The money. Most Christian colleges, BJ, Maranatha, up until just recently, didn't get a lot of their money from the government or none. Now that's starting to creep in. I'm not mad at them. I'm just saying it is. Whereas places like Wheaton, which if you call that a Christian college, places like that, the gay issue is going to come up. You understand that, don't you? So that's one threat. There's a second threat. The second threat is actually the people that practice this sort of behavior. And then there's the third threat. Now, the text we're going to read does not directly address this, but I'm going to ask you a question that when we get done reading the text, you are going to tell me, what did Paul consider the greatest threat to the church? Government? I'm going to use bad English. Them people? Or? You're going to tell me the answer to that question. Because I have learned at Lake County, even though, yes, Frenchie, I spoke on church discipline for weeks, I still have people that don't know who the threat is to our church. Let's stand. 1 Corinthians 5, you can look at it in your Bible or in your notes, because I have it in your notes because I actually want you to do some work with it when we're actually doing this. Tonight is called Practicing Scripture. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 1. It is reported commonly, meaning it's just common knowledge. This isn't gossip. This isn't scuttlebutt. This isn't slander. This is just kind of everybody knows that there is fornication among you. Fornication being a very broad word for immorality. And he goes on to say, in such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, the unsaved people, that one should have his father's wife. Everybody assumes that it is the stepmother. You hope it is. Verse 2. Paul goes on and says, and you are puffed up and have not rather mourned, that he that had done this deed might be taken away from among you, church. For I verily, or truly, am as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan, for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. By the way, Kevin Botter did as good a job as I've ever heard in personal conversation on this verse. He said when a church practices church discipline and expels a member, he says one of two things are going to follow. Some really, really, really ugly stuff that brings repentance to the man, or nothing. And if it's nothing, wasn't a Christian. Because when the church officially has to expel somebody under these circumstances, and by the way, don't kid yourself, if you're a real Christian, you can only play games so far. So if you're in this room and you can play games and God never convicts you, never chastises you, do you know what that means? That's not a good sign. Let's continue reading. He says you're glorying. A better word in modern English would be you're boasting, you're bragging. Your bragging is not good. Your boasting is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leaveneth a whole lump? It only takes a little bit of yeast to go through a whole lump of, you know, the whole part and make it all leaven. He says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with a leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Verse 9. By the way, what's our question? Look up here. What's our question? Government? Them folks? Who's the greatest danger to a church? It's going to have to be more specific than us. Yeah, but let's read this text, because I'm going to say this, folks. All we're going to do tonight is talk about a simple thing that we'll pick up on again Wednesday, disapproval and approval. What I have learned is we have people that are either part of this church or part of this school family. They drink, they whore, they do all kinds of unbelievable things, and they get approval. They get hugs, they get kisses, they get visits, they get gifts, they get God bless you. Let's see what Paul says. Let's see who Paul says is the greatest danger. By the way, Jim, you're right, the greatest danger to Jim is Jim. But we're talking about what the greatest danger to a local church is. Is it government? Or is it them bad people out there? Verse 9. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, but yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must needs you go out of the world. By the way, folks, at work, if you work at a normal place, you have all kinds of people. You couldn't even get a job if they all had to act like a Christian. Yes? This is what I find funny. Christians are scared to death to go out in the world because all those bad people, those are not the ones that Paul thinks the danger. Here's where who Paul thinks the danger is. But now I have written unto you, not to keep company, if any man is not male, individual, that is called a brother. So if you have someone who says, I am a Christian, and that individual is a what? Covetous, idolater, railer. By the way, what's railer mean? Probably the word blaspheme. It means to slander people. How about this? Chismus, gossip, what term do you want to use? Or a what? The first time you go to a party to some of your Christian friends and they're getting drunk, the first thing you do is you immediately leave. And the second thing is you do, you know, you make them well known that you disapprove of their stupid. By the way, you expect unsaved people to act like, but you don't expect Christians to act like unsaved people. He goes on. I'm going to read all this again. But now have I written unto you not to keep company if any man or woman is called a brother. That is called a brother. He's not making judgments here totally. Is a fornicator or covetous or idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner with such an one, no, not to what? For what have I to do to judge them that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? Ye should. But them that are without, God judges. Therefore, put away from among you, among yourselves, that wicked person. So, we're going to pray. What's the answer? Government? Them bad people? Or who? People that say they are Christians, who live? Why? By the way, folks, you have to understand something. I would much rather have children come to our school whose parents are unsaved, where when the kids hear me preach, teach, Tim teach, preach, Brian teach, preach, Dan Duncan teach, preach, they know this is Christian, my dad and mom are unsaved. Then come to this school and the parents drink, do the 50 Shades of Grey. Are you all awake out there? The greatest danger to a church are people that say they're Christians. It's not the government. Never has been the government. It's not those bad people, those gay people. Really? But what if you have one practicing right here? I asked you a question. Now, when we sit down, as gently as I can, I'm going to be very direct to you. Because some of us tonight need to start asking some questions of ourselves. Let's pray. Father, I ask your blessing now on this time. May this be a profitable night And just very simple, I ask in Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Your daughter comes to you, or your granddaughter, or your cousin comes to you and says, I am gay. What do you do? By the way, sleepyheads, and some of you aren't sleepy tonight, I'm thankful. You already should have been asking this question, shouldn't you? Because they're already going to come to you and say, I'm a Christian, and yet are drunkards, liars, fornicators. Let me ask you another question. Your child comes to you and they're living with their girlfriend or boyfriend. Are you okay with that? Do you give them a big spitty hug and slobber all over them and say how much you love them? Let me ask a simple question. When does a Christian disapprove of behavior? Do they ever? Now, it has been my experience, and what I fear with several families in Lake County Baptist is we are going to see these things happen, and we already have people that cannot disapprove of their own children. They just can't say, sissy. No, I can't say sissy because that's sissy back here. I got to get a different name. Sorry. I can't say the girl is bad, and I can't say my son is bad. So I'm going to ask you the question, what do you do? Do you go to the wedding when your daughter, granddaughter, niece, nephew decides to marry one of the same sex? Do you go to the wedding? You're not very loving. Are you? Are you a hater? Now, before we go any further, let me give you three examples real quickly. One has something to do with here many years ago when I first came here. Two have to do with outside here. One has to do with a pastor. Pastor in South Bend, Indiana. Maybe Tim knows the guy's name. I won't say his name. Dan had a remnant of the church for a period of time, a small remnant. Another remnant went over and started or built the Bob Jones Church in South Bend. But there was a guy when I was in Bible college that had the largest fundamental church in South Bend. He preached at my chapel, and by the way, one of my favorite preachers. He had two sons, at least, that came through the same school I went to, and somewhere in about age 60, his sons decided this fundamentalism stuff wasn't where the action is. And by the way, when I say fundamentalism, I'm just talking about biblical Christianity. I'm not referring to anything weird. His sons thought it was all right to drink and et cetera, et cetera. And guess what? Chucky Poo, that's what I call him, did. Chucky Poo followed his sons. He ruined one of the best churches in South Bend, Indiana, just destroyed it, and he could not understand why the deacons and most of the good people left and started another church. He followed his. Now, let's take it another step. Personal experience. Mother comes to me and says, my daughter is a lesbian. Jenny knows this happened. And I've got to follow my daughter. Or how about the mother? I can think of her. I had so many fights with this mother. Sometimes I think this incestuous, and I'm being very precise there, not sexually, but in every other way, that relationship that males have with their mother sometimes, where the emotions and the filth is all interwound, and every time Junior gets in trouble, Mom cries. By the way, I never cried when my children got in trouble. You say, why? I didn't get in trouble. These incestuous relationships where whatever Junior does, Mommy follows. And Mommy always says, ah, that's so wonderful. I'm asking you a question, and we're going to look at this text. When do you state your disapproval and show your disapproval? That is the question we're going to ask tonight. Wednesday night, we'll pick up on this in a much more difficult subject or angle, because we're going to have to ask things like, Does this mean you never speak to your children again? You know, do we practice what some of the Anabaptist group did, the ban or shunning? By the way, these are practical questions, because everybody in this room has had children that have done wrong pretty much. And by the way, showing approval at the right times and disapproval at the right times, I think, is kind of a biblical teaching. Well, let's look in your notes. How did Corinth show approval? Now, by the way, folks, when you read the text, you notice I'm not giving you the answers. I actually want you to read this. Please look at me. What was going on at Corinth? What went on at Corinth was this. This was a local church like Lake County Baptist, and at this church, this is all we know. There was a man living, and I'm not going to go further because there's smaller kids here, living with his, we hope, stepmother. Paul says, even the pagans don't do that. And yet, the church at Corinth approved. I have two questions on the approval side. You notice what they are. The first one's, how did Corinth show approval? And the second one is, why did Corinth show approval? That's the harder question. May I say this to all of you? If you have if you have the drive to always approve of your children's behavior, Pastor Kowak said it after Sunday school, you understand, it isn't your children's fault, it's your fault. That's talking about you. So, Tim, come up here. Tim Kowak's been married 21 years. Tim decides he's had enough of Jennifer. Now, I can understand that. I don't understand why it's taken him 21 years to figure it out. But he decides he's going to hook up with somebody. And he's leaving. I'm asking you a specific question. How did they show approval? And the harder one is why. Oh, Tim, I'm so happy you're in a better place. I'm so happy that you're happy. I'm so happy that we're all happy and that we can all sing Kumbaya tonight. Well, all of us but your, wait a minute, all of us but your daughters and the testimony you have in a church. Yes? So I want to ask you, how did this church show approval? Somebody raise your hand. It's, by the way, all of these are in the text, so I'm not interested in your opinions. How did they show approval? Jim? Yeah, that's the first thing. That is in verse 2, is it not? In verse 2 it says, "But and you are puffed up and have not rather mourned." Wouldn't you think if your child has done wrong, by the way, that's my first, the first practice they got wrong was they were puffed up and didn't mourn. Wouldn't you think if your child has done wrong that at least you should weep? Yes or no? By the way, getting to that second question, and I'm not going to give you an answer on that one tonight. I don't have an answer. I don't have an answer for Corinth. I see it in people. I understand the semi-incestuous relationship that mothers have with their sons, where they just can't disapprove of Junior. I've seen it in this church in the 19 years I've been here. And whatever Junior does, mom's crying, mom's mad, mom's leaving, mom's out of here, mom's this, mom's that. And it's just like, what in the world? I understand that. But look at me. The first thing is, wait a minute. The unsaved people didn't behave this way. But the church was puffed up and didn't mourn. What else? Someone else. What other practice? What else went on here? You have to read the text. It's in the text. I know this is homework, yes. Thank you, Rhonda. That is found in the entire chapter. They continue to socialize with them. Yes, Rhonda, that is exactly correct. And maybe, Rhonda, you are so much smarter than me and way smarter than some other Mandevilles we won't mention. The nice thing is you have a better word. Everyone look at me. I use the word fellowship. They continued to fellowship with him. But by the way, your word's better, isn't it? Because they really weren't fellowshipping, they were socializing. By the way, please look at me, friend. Do you realize when you socialize with people deliberately disobeying God that say they're Christians, do you know what people read that to be? Socializing. Yeah, love you, praying for you, you're so wonderful. You can't social. By the way, folks, look at me. Jordan, you go to school. Do you have unsaved people at the school? Do you realize you can socialize with those people more safely than you can socialize with the Christian doing wrong? That's all it's talking about. There's a third one, and maybe Jim's already said it, so I'll give it to you. The third one is found in verse 6. You all find verse 6? And maybe, Jim, this is the same thing. What's verse 6 say they were doing? What? Boasting, bragging, glorying. It's not the word doxa, or, you know, it's not the verb of that. It's the word for boasting or bragging. So you had a church that was puffed up. I think puffed up, Jim, probably has something, this idea. They were proud of this. Look, we have a really inclusive church. We have all sexual sins. Yes, Dada. Yes, we'll get to that one, but it's the backside of this. They just, judge not that you be not judged. Haven't you read that verse? By the way, folks, please look at me. The problem is when it's your own family. I want to ask you a question before we continue. May I ask? It's a bigger crowd here tonight. Just raise your hand. Please don't get specific. Just raise your hand. In your family, broader family, how many of you have people who are gay? Raise your hand. Some of us in our very close family. Is that right? By the way, this becomes very difficult to know, how do I deal with this? I don't want to approve of that behavior. Look at me. I don't want my children thinking this is okay. But should you, and I'm not going to give anybody away, but everybody here knows that some of us have these very close brothers and sisters. Doesn't mean you hate them. Let me ask you a question. Do you support them? If your child comes out gay and they're living in your house, do you continue to pay their bills? You better ask yourself these questions. Do you go to their weddings? May I say this? The danger of the church is not the government closing the church down. The danger in the church is not them bad people out there. The danger is we don't know what to do with sin. With people that say, I'm a Christian, and who live differently. Why did Corinth show approval? I ask you the question, why? What's the answer? Do you know? Is there an answer in the text? I don't think so. I can guess these were people that were big into grace. You know, and if you, the more you sin, the more grace you have. And look what God's done. God has brought together. Aren't they in a better place? Aren't they happier now? All right, let's look at the next one. How should they and we today have shown disapproval? And friend, this comes right into our families. How do we show disapproval? Now, before you go any further, I have a mom's side. From my grandma and grandpa Custer, there are 38 first cousins. I think I'm number 10 or 9, somewhere in there. There's 38 of us. Down the chain, I don't know his name. He was a little bitty kid when I left home 40 years ago. But way down the chain, one of my cousins, first cousins, is gay. So this is in my family also. On my mom's side also, in a distant cousin, one of the women is lesbian and has been since the 70s. So I have this in my family. What are you going to do? What are you going to do if your child suddenly decides to live with somebody? Invite them in? Hug them? Okay, let's go to the text. How should they and we today have shown disapproval? Raise your hand. What should we have done? From the text, yes. Yes, that's one of them. Verse 7, they should have purged him from their fellowship. Yes. By the way, folks, when someone, now this is not someone that sins. This is not someone that messes up. This is someone that says, I'm a Christian, and I know God says this, and I know you believe this, but I'm going this way. That person must be purged from the fellowship. Look at me. This is not a teenager that messes up. This is not a person that's an adult that messes up. This is the person like this that is going down a path, and you must, look at me, as a church member, they have to be purged out of your fellowship. Yes? Because the greatest danger you and I face? All right. What else? Raise your hand. Josh. Josh. should be condemned. Yes. By the way, look at me, friend. It's got to be condemned. Yes. Well, let's look at verse. That's a good one. Verse 3 and 4 talk about that to some degree. Paul says, For I verily am absent in body, but present in spirit, have done what? What? By the way, now look down at verse 13. For what have I to do to judge them that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within. He's assuming we're going to say something and condemn this action. So they should have judged him, condemned him, not to hell, but just simply, look at me, folks. If you have a child doing wrong, you don't have to hate the child. And some of this doesn't apply directly to children. I get that. But your children should know, as a Christian, we're not talking about your child grows up. And for reasons unknown, they used to be a good, loyal, God-fearing Cardinal fan, and they go to the dark side and root for the Cubs. I'm being silly, but look at me. Who cares? Or they have facial hair and you don't like facial hair. We're talking about direct, obvious this. But I'm a Christian. Somewhere along the line, you got to say, Junior, That's wrong. God says it's wrong. You know better. We talk to you. There's got to be some judgment, condemnation from a church and also in the family. Yes, there does. Good. What else? Christy. Yes, and verse 5 is really, in some ways, the same thing we've already said. Let me say it this way. They should have delivered him to Satan or Satan's domain, which is the same thing as purging him out, but is stated in different ways. There's got to be consequences. Now, please look at me, friend. I do not want you to walk out of here tonight and say, my son rides a motorcycle and I don't like motorcycles. We're not talking about that. We're talking about people who say they're Christians in your family and worse in a church when the person all of a sudden you realize that look at me. I had this at Lake County Baptist in 1998. Some of you vaguely remember those days when a Navy couple and a guy that sang right up here in the choir, and he knew that we were against drinking, started inviting other Navy couples down to the base to imbibe with them. Now, they didn't invite some of you because they knew you didn't drink. They didn't invite Duncan because they knew he already drank, so there was no need to invite him. But they were bringing people down there to what? To influence them. Folks, you can't have that kind of stuff. Yes, Christy, they have to be delivered to Satan and Satan's domain. There has to be some physical consequences. What else? Anybody else? Yes, Jim. Look at verse 11. Yes, sir. And we'll make this two principles, or you can make it one. Paul says in verse 11, but now have I written unto you not to keep company. So they stood. I'm going to use Rhonda's language. I like it so much better than mine because it's not spiritual. Thank you, Rhonda. They should have stopped socializing with him. By the way, folks, you show approval to these people by socializing. Is everybody almost awake out there? Do you understand that? Please look at me. Have you noticed those same people that invite you to their house that do wrong never invite me? Have you ever wondered why they don't invite me? They don't invite Tim. They invite people that they know won't disapprove. They should have stopped socializing with them. And by the way, look at the last part of verse 11, which is separate but equal. It goes on to say, we'll read the whole verse, but now have I written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer, which means someone that's a gossip probably or a slanderer or a drunkard or an extortioner, with such a one what? Now that becomes specific. Everyone look at me. Now, here is the debate. I don't want to get into the debate, but this is what I believe. In minimum, it could mean one of two things. What did we do this morning? The minimum thing, is they are not allowed the Lord's Supper. Minimum. There are many Baptist fundamentalists that think this is talking about they refuse the Lord's Supper or the Lord's table. I tend to expand that. I tend to say this. They shouldn't have socialized and they shouldn't have eaten with them. Because I believe this. Most of the time you show a level of approval through eating with people. It's hard to eat with people you hate. That's the reason those people never invite Pastor Warren over. Now, you don't know why they don't invite you. Hey, look at me. I've had women say to me, I could name their names, Pastor Warren, you're just not very loving. What they're really saying is, Pastor Warren, you don't approve of that stupid. Of course not. You shouldn't either. May I say this? This young man living with his stepmother, the church finally did this. Did it help the young man? Yes or no? Yes, because in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, as far as we know, he's now back with the Lord when they obeyed the scripture. People always hug people, and they never ask, does this work? Yes, it works. It works for you because it makes you feel good, but it doesn't help the person. All right, we have looked at several. We have looked at the concept of, in verse 11, that they should have stopped, and I'm going to use Rhonda's language, socializing with him. Thank you, Rhonda. Oh, they also should have stopped eating with him. I think eating is one of the main, and by the way, eating, you know, socializing, that sort of thing. Verse 5, they should have delivered him unto Satan's domain. That's an obvious one. They should have judged him or condemned him. There should have been, and that's in verse 3 and 4, and it's also in verse 12 and 13. And by the way, friend, they should have judged him or condemned him. Josh, you're saying there should have been something said verbally. Doesn't mean you have to hate somebody. By the way, in your family, you might have people in your family that aren't doing right. You might even go to family gatherings with them. But they ought to know in some fashion, I don't approve of that. We're Christians, and probably they know better too. That doesn't mean every time you meet them, you have to say something stupid. It just means they need to know, as a Christian, we don't go down that path. By the way, let me give you verse 2. What's in verse 2? Paul tells us they should have what? What? They should have mourned. By the way, folks, one of the big things that should happen when you see a young person or a not-so-young person doing wrong is there ought to be some mourning. Verse 3 has the second one, and we've already said this in different language. They should have taken him away from them. In verse 3, I, absent in body but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present concerning him that had... You know what? It's verse 2. I got the wrong verse. Frenchie messed that up. The very last part, he says, that he that had done this deed might be taken away from among you. So we have, they should have mourned, they should have taken him away, they should have judged or condemned him, they should have delivered him to Satan, they should have purged him from fellowship, they should have stopped socializing with him, they should have stopped eating with him. And verse 13 gives us the last one. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. They should have put him away from them. He, in all of those really say the same thing. Really, there's three or four of these that say the exact same thing. Now, please look at me. We're going to be done in about 5 minutes. Why is this important? See these young ladies here? I was going to say those young ladies here, you look the same age as your daughter. That's wrong. Your daughter's taller than you, isn't she? Man. By the way, who's the big danger to these kids? That bad person out there? It's that bad, look at me. It's that bad person that you welcome. That person that says, I'm a Christian. They'll do 100-fold more damage to anybody ever than the bad people out there. It's the person you bring in and say, love you, you're the best, praying for you. And all the while, look at me. These little children are looking and saying, oh boy. There are 3 reasons in this text, maybe 4, that this is important. We're going to touch on all of them and then we're going to be done. Wednesday night, we're going to pick this up because, by the way, folks, this gets real hard. This gets real hard when your children or grandchildren do wrong. What do you do? Look at me. The only thing that will work to help them is to obey the scripture. Your emotions and your philosophies never work. Obedience to the scripture is the only hope you have. Why is it important? Look at verse 6, 7, and 8. I've already said it. Paul says your glorying, your bragging, your boasting is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? He's talking about the local church. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. The very first reason why this is important is the health of the body. The health of the body. Christian, if you allow this stuff in a church and you allow it to metastasize, you know what metastasis is, don't you? And the children, by the way, and there's no child, the children here like me, but none of the children are looking at me. They're not looking at Koach, Pastor Koach. They're not even looking at Brian. They're looking at the kid a little bit older than them. And we think it's, you know, junior here cusses all the time. Junior uses the F word all the time. Junior lives like a pig all the time. Junior's into porn. I don't know about it, but parents do and other people do. And guess what? The little kids look to that kid. And they say, well, I guess that's what it means to be a Christian. By the way, the health of the body, it's essential that we learn how to deal with this. We cannot allow this kind of thing within a church. Number two, obviously the honor of Christ. All through this chapter, in verse 1, when it says, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as it is not so much as named among the Gentiles. That is dishonoring to the Lord, you see. In verse 4, Paul talks about the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you're gathered together in my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not only the health of the body, it's the honor of Christ is at stake. I mean, verse 6, 7, and 8 talks about, you know, in Christ is our Passover sacrifice for us. He was pure, unleavened. And you're mixing in sin and you're approving of sin and you're dishonoring Christ. The last point, really, there's two points together. The first one, so it's the health of the body, the honor of Christ, and thirdly, the hope of the unsaved. If the unsaved on the outside can look at a Christian church and say, those people are worse than us, who's going to talk to them about the gospel? Who's going to share? Listen to me. If you talk to my father, and I heard him many, 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 many times, he had the privilege of working with my mom's brothers. Good Billy Baptist. And most of them were Billy Baptist. You know, King James Bible, White Sox. And they were, listen to me, they didn't work as hard as my dad. They weren't as honorable as my father, but Dad worked with them. Let me say something, folks. Yes, it's the honor of Christ, but it's the hope of the unsaved. If the church is worse than the world, what hope does the unsaved have? They look at the church and say, what do I want to be part of that for? That, what does everybody say about the church? It's full of what? Well, frankly, it always isn't, but a lot of churches are. Game playing. Especially, I'm going to step back and say this. I've never said this in my 19 years here. Ron Hill's number one problem when he was here is his own children were his undoing, plus his own problems. He could not call his daughter on sin. Did you hear me? He had his own issues, but he got to the place, and it was pretty obvious, he couldn't call his own daughter on things. And I got news for you. I ain't got any children like that. And nor are your children like that. I'll call your children too, and you. It's my job. It's my calling. Christy mentioned it. We'll close with this. By the way, it's part of the last one. Let's look up here. The health of the body. If we allow these kind of people in here, it's not the government closing us down. It's not them bad people. It's those Christians that you allow to influence your children and spread their leaven, their metastasis among us. It's the health of the body, it's the honor of Christ, it's the hope of the unsaved, but it's also the hope of this guy. Because if we obey the scripture and don't hug this guy and say, love you, praying for you, you're so wonderful. If we actually do what the scripture says, there is hope that this young man might repent. Look at verse 5. To deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, there's going to be consequences, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. I'll say this and done. Everyone look at me and we are done tonight. If you're a compromiser, I have never, look at me, now we're not in the Bible. This is Pastor Warren's observation. I have never seen compromise bear fruit. But if you mean this, Tim, come back up here. I've shown you this before. I'm not going to say it's easy, but it's something I've shown in the past. You've only seen it here, folks. As a Christian, you have to be able to do two things. And the hardest thing is, in some ways, you have to be able to do them at the same time. You have to be able to, into some way, to love this person, and into some way, no. Most Christians, no, I'm not going to do it. Most Christians, oh, I love you. Or there's people here that you don't love anybody but you, so you don't have to worry about this. Here's the Christian view. I want to ask you a question. Are you willing to do that? With your children, grandchildren, relatives, friends, or do you want their metastasis, their cancer, to spread into our church? A few years ago, I found out there was a guy that comes to this school. He knows about it. I had to tell him when I found out. Got drunk and was hitting on a young lady, 16, 17 years old, in this school at the time. You didn't hear me, did you? He's still a drunk. He's not part of this church. I can't discipline him out. But I wonder why I have people in this school and in this church that hug him. They know what he's like, but they just can't disapprove. Hear me, friend. It's time for you to disapprove of sin. Yes, love people, but yes, have your boundaries, says. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. We're talking about matters that are